Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 30 of Pipe Dummies. Episode 30 and 8 o'clock, well, for Central guys, 9 o'clock, y'all Eastern guys, on the dot. First time in a very long time.
Yes.
We're on schedule. And we have our pipes packed with some very good smelling Boswell Sweet Mild. So we will probably definitely not be seeing Logan on this show.
No, which is probably a good thing. He wants to see that ugly face anyway.
So just be me and Bull Shark today, as normal.
Yeah, I got the sample that we're smoking, which probably won't show up on camera, but it's for 2006. It's actually from May of 2006. And
like I said, that's worth noting right there. It's just already 10 years old.
It smells so amazing, too. Like we said, we're doing an aromatic tonight. Boswell's do Don Aromatics as well, but they're really known for their aromatics. They're really known for their really high quality aromatics. They're not goopy. They've got amazing flavor to them. It smokes well. And Sweet and Mild is actually one of their more popular ones. Oh man, it's just got such an amazing smell to it.
I haven't even lit it yet because it just smells so good by itself.
I know, man. It's awesome. Golly, but it smells good. Man, it smells like...
While you're talking, I'm going to put some fire to mine.
It almost smells like, I don't know, like a oatmeal raisin cookie or something. It's so good. Real heavy raisiny date note. Man, this smells great. I probably should pack my pipe with that, but I just keep sniffing it.
Yeah, I had just enough to pack my pipe. Look at that. I think there's one little speck of tobacco left in there. But wow. I smoked probably two bowls just for pleasure, and then I smoked one bowl and reviewed a while back.
Yeah.
And then this one, so finish this can off.
Well, the description of this, it says, Sweet Miles, a golden Cavendish blend along with overtones of toasted cherry. Very smooth and excellent room aroma. Yeah, obviously. History of this blend dates, born back in 1998. Dan, along with Russ Hess, a customer that turned into a good friend. They worked on this blend until they got it just right. Now this is Russ's favorite all-day smoke and many others who discovered Sweet and Mild. Customers who smoke Sweet and Mild are often asked, what is that sweet aroma? And it has a flavoring of cherry, coffee, and whiskey. I mean, I definitely get that cherry note. You definitely can smell that. And to me, it has like almost a bready quality. It kind of reminds me of like an oatmeal raisin cookie or something, you know?
It seems like it's that, I'm guessing, the Cavendish that I'm getting most of my flavor from off the beginning here.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't smoke, at least so far, nearly as sweet as it smells.
Yeah, that's the thing about, that's kind of the thing about their aromatics. I mean, it has a really sweet smell. It smells amazing. The room note is really awesome, too. People will love you. But it does. You don't get that thickening, overpowering sweetness, you know, when you're smoking it either. It's just a good amount, you know, for the blend itself. Still packing mine right here.
I mean, it's still got a nice sweetness to it for sure, especially on a little retrohale here. But it doesn't, as we've already stated, have any of that soupy, heavy casing to it. It smells great, room note, and then just has a nice little light sweetness to it when you're smoking it.
Right.
Yeah, have to see if I can, if it gets too hot on me or if I smoke too fast or not. I was talking to Logan this weekend. I was up there helping him some stuff. And I'm thinking of this little spot there where there wasn't anything going on. That's the best part about three people. You really don't get the dead space while two people are trying to
try to light up.
Right.
Yeah.
The pipe's a little different. You can get some pretty good dead space there. Three people, especially one of them being Logan, you can always get something being said.
Yeah.
I keep making little remarks about him every now and then just to see if he watches anything, but so far I don't think so.
Oh. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's sweet, but it's not cloyingly sweet at all.
No, it's like a, just took the edge off of straight tobacco is all it really seems like. And so I got to wonder, you've had this a long time, I'm guessing, right?
You don't have to guess. It's 2006.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you've had it the whole time. So you've smoked this stuff fresh and you've smoked this stuff 10 years later.
Yes. This is a lot mellower and smoother than it was by far. I don't smoke Aromatics too much. And like I said, actually, I hadn't cracked this tin since I canned it in 2006 to send you some. I hadn't opened it. I was letting it sit there and age.
Jeez.
I have several jars of what you know, but for audience, I have several jars of the Boswells, of mostly Aromatics. I got their North. Is it Northwoods? I think it is. It's a. Let me look that up and see. That's the one that's a non-aromatic. I think it's the only non-aromatic that I got. Yeah, it's an English blend. It's actually one of their. Actually, Northwoods is their most popular blend. But my favorite, I think, has been Christmas Cookie, which I actually don't have. But. With Aromatics, I usually kind of just stick with Aromatics around the fall, mainly the fall and the winter. And I don't know why. I don't know why that is. Probably mainly because most of the flavors of Aromatics that I like kind of have that fall baked goods, Christmas baked good kind of, you know, overthrow. Like this has got cherry and coffee and whiskey on it. You know, then you got berry cobbler, which I mean, you can smoke that at any time. But, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like, you know, a blackberry pie or something like that. Christmas cookie, the name, you know, says what it's like. So I kind of use a smoke it only around Christmas time, most Aromatics. So a lot of these I tinned up a lot of it that I made little bitty baggies of some of the other ones just so I could have a little bit to sample. But even when I did that, I didn't really smoke them as much. But I remember this one being one of my favorites out of the whole line, too.
I'll agree with you on the fall, winter months, even up to early spring. And there's something on Aromatic that fits quite well into a cooler climate.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, being in Texas is always hot. I mean, while I was in Mississippi, it was really super hot. Like today, the high was 98 degrees. But, you know, that's why usually in the summertime, I don't really smoke a whole lot of pipe. Because kind of what I like to mostly smoke is English or you know, Balkans, which is kind of heavy for a hot day, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of the same with my beer. Like, I love, you know, porters and stouts, but in the summertime, I don't want that. I want light, crisp beers, you know. But, and it's kind of the same with my tobacco. Like, even I noticed with cigars, I'm more medium body. I mean, I'm a medium body cigar smoker, medium to strong, but it's more medium to mild when it's really hot. Just, you know, I don't want it to be right. too cloying and overbearing. So it's kind of the same with pipes. But that's a good thing I like about the sweet and mild. It's got that cherry note, and it's got a nice sweet toasty note about it, which it's good all the time. Like, it's not really heavily flavored. It's just a nice, sweet, tasty blend.
Yeah, I was just getting a lot of that toastiness to it with the mild cherry sweetness. It's not heavy cherry. You really got to dig to get the cherry out of the sweetness, but nice and toasty.
Yeah.
Real smooth and easy. Not far into it, but so far there's no kind of burn issues or bowl issues with this stuff.
No, not at all of mine. Which I told everybody on the last episode, I was going to smoke this my Boswell pipe, and this is what it looks like. And I got this at the same time that I bought this, was 2005, 2006, when I bought this pipe. It was actually the first, pipe that I'd really had bought, you know, handmade pipe. It's a Boswell and Son. So it's like, Boswell and his son that make these pipes, and basically what they do is they'll make the pipes. And I think it's on either Wednesday or Thursday, they'll take everything they made that week and just throw them up on the site. And it's first come, first served. Usually, they're one of a kind. So it's like this actually was one that was, pretty common that they were doing back then. I don't even know if they're selling them like this anymore. Which I haven't seen one of these like this in a while, but they were doing a lot of, they had the kind of texture to it with the kind of the almost wave pattern or whatever. Yeah, I thought it looked really cool. And they're under $100 a piece for these pipes. I mean, and they're really good smokers. But I only use this for Boswell tobacco. Like, nothing else goes in this.
I'm going to say, while you're at it, you might explain that tip you got going on there, because you can tell that's not a standard pipe tip hanging off of there.
Yeah. I mean, some people probably use these, but all that is one of those the rubber tips. And I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people been using them. And I bought some just to protect some of my more expensive pipe stems. Because, you know, when you clench with your teeth, obviously you're not going to leave a mark on the stem. But what I have found is just the way they are, and that soft kind of silicone, rubber, whatever it's made out of, there's two different kinds. But it actually, I can hold it in my mouth a lot better. It's way more comfortable. I can just clench it and hold it, and it's just so comfortable when I'm using this. And they actually come in. I ordered these from Pipes and Cigar, but every pipe place has got them. And they come in. This one came in a 2-pack, which I ripped the thing. But this is BJ Long that make the pipe cleaners too. They actually make these. They come in a 2-count little bag, and I think it's $1 a bag, but they are so worth it. I have them on every pipe. Now, everything I have, even on my cheapies, but just because it just makes it so much more comfortable to actually to hold and smoke.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to get some of those myself, because I can hold these, but it's a lot, you know, it's gonna be a lot easier with a rubber tip on it, and the fact that my stem, I don't have anything bad. I can see small little nicks, but
yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. It's going to be my pipe anyway, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thing, too. Some of my stuff, it's like, I know I'm not going to get rid of it, but, you know, it just makes it more comfortable for me.
Shooter had a couple questions for you. He didn't ask them in here. He asked them over in the SigFed chat. First one, he's wondering when you're going to come back to the chat over in SigFed.
Oh, I'll bring it up now.
I guess you haven't been hanging out over there in a while, I guess. At least not when he's on.
Because I'm a slacker.
I work, got a kid. I don't hang out too much on chat. Every now and then I'll pop in and hang out. Kind of busy. So the other person, he wants to know if that Boswell pipe fits in your pipe rack or not. The one he built you.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. Like a champ. And thank you very much. I love it. I need one so bad. Big time.
I need more pipes to fill up. Well, it's empty now because the only pipes I have I've been using right now, they're not even sitting in the rack. But I'm sure after Vegas, I'll probably pick a couple up. Won't be so bad. So we actually have a Q&A question over here. Shane says, hey, guys, finally able to make it to a live episode. I have a ton of aromatics that I have yet to jar. They're all in baggies. Is there a way to is there a shelf life in the bag, or will they hold up okay?
Yes, but if you put them in a jar, they're going to be perfectly fine in a baggie. I have some of mine that have been in bags for years, and some hold up better than others. So it kind of depends on the tobacco. It's something you got to kind of monitor because they'll dry out real quick in bags. But some, it won't matter. It like I said, I live in a humid climate, so it's easy for me to leave tobacco out and not really tin it or put it in cans. Like I could actually pop a tin and just still not put it in a can and keep just a lid on top of it. And then usually they're fine like that because it's so humid. But with baggies, you know, they breathe a lot more than the tins or a jar, so they can dry out a lot quicker. So just got to keep an eye on it. And if you see where it's starting to get a little bit dry, then immediately just go throw it in a jar. It'll be fine.
And it definitely depends on your climate. You and me down here on the Gulf Coast, we've got enough humidity in the air to keep, like we've said before, barely got to keep humidity in our cigar towers. We're so humid down here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect ours too much, but so they should hold up, but you just got to keep an eye on them. And then if not, use your little trick with the moist paper towel on the lid of a mason jar, and you can moisten that stuff right back up.
Rubbermaid bin, mason, anything that will seal. Yeah, put a damp paper towel on top of it or something. Something that will hold the water and not drip, and it will rehydrate it pretty quickly.
Shooter, 10% humidity in the winter. Man, if I had 10% humidity, I think our houses would shrink up down here.
I don't even know what 10% humidity is. The lowest I think I've ever experienced is maybe 40. That's it. No, I've been to Denver, so I can't say that.
Right. I was going to say, I've been to Colorado and up in the mountains. I know I've seen less. I've been to Michigan and Maryland and stuff during the winter, so I've seen less, but I've never seen less than 40 for more than a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, I was up there. My headquarters used to be in Lafayette, Colorado, suburb of Denver. And I remember it was in September. I left the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It was super hot and humid. So I was wearing a polo shirt and, like, khaki shorts and flip-flops. I got to Colorado. It was 45 degrees when I got off the plane. I was like, son of a bitch. Because I didn't even bring long sleeve shirts. All I had was polos and a couple of khakis,
right,
a pair of khaki pants to go to work in. And that was it. I was like, oh shit, I'm going to have to go to Target, maybe find a jacket to buy or something. But as I got off the plane, got my luggage, and went out to go get my car from Enterprise, it was 45 degrees, but it didn't feel like 45 degrees. I thought, it's brisk, but it's not bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell.
Oh, it's a lot easier when it's not so humid. That wet, cold air is nasty.
It's like you got a wet blanket on you. You know, when it's humid and it's cold. I had my best friend since I was in kindergarten. His dad, his mom and dad, his dad was in the Air Force, so they traveled all over before he was born. And they've been to Alaska. They're from Flint, Michigan. And he used to tell us that it got colder to him in Mississippi than it did in Alaska. Because of the humidity. I was like, what? Until I always really? I don't know. But then when I went to Denver, I was like, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I walked around Maryland with snow and ice and short sleeve shirt, and, you know, it's cool, but I was fine. If you get snow and ice down here and you try and go short sleeve shirt, you're not going to make it. You're going to be freezing, uncomfortably cold. So it's definitely different.
Yeah, but I'm fat, so I'm kind of like a big walrus, so it's not really it takes a lot for me to have to put on a jacket.
Well, you made me think, I'll toss this in, it's not tobacco related, but talking about your flight story. I flew to Brazil in December, not this year, but a few years back. But I flew out of Houston. So Houston in December can be pretty chilly. I think it was down in the, it was cold, lower 40s, you know, pretty chilly for Houston. We pack in the plane. You know, it's a quick hop over to Miami. You got to jump under the plane so you don't leave the airport. And then it's an 8-hour flight to Rio. So I'm dressed, you know, lightweight but long sleeve shirt, jeans, and I've been freezing. Plane's pretty cold. You know, you go about, what is it, like 4.5 hours difference down in Brazil. So you fly red eye and you arrive in the morning, about 11:30, I think it was. So I left Houston late night at 40-something degrees, got to Brazil, got off the plane, and their airport is not like an American international airport. It's not air-conditioned. And it has nothing. It's pretty open air. It was 102 degrees and sunny because summer in Brazil, Winter in Houston. Holy shit. I felt needing to get out of some heavy clothes fast.
Huh, I hear that.
It was uncomfortable. But I knew it, but I sure wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, that's why I always try to dress for my destination. Like, we all flew to Europe. You know, the cigar media trip over to Europe in October, I dressed for Belgian weather instead of Mississippi weather. So when I landed, I was perfect. I was burning up here, but perfectly fine when I got there.
All right, we got another question here from Shane, thanking us for the answer to the bag. He's mostly out of laziness. Laziness or finding the time. I have both as a problem right now. It doesn't really matter. I've got probably 6 or 7 Ziploc bags of cigars with Boveda packs in them. So I don't have the time to put them in inventory and put them in my towers yet. So I've been there. Said he's in the Pacific Northwest. So it's nothing like the humidity we have down here. Also want to let you know that those mouthpiece covers, you can get them at Vermont Freehand, 10-pack for $3.50.
Yeah, there's actually 2 different kind that I found. There's this one, it's like a, they said this is a higher grade rubber from the BJ Long. And then you got the ones, which probably is, they're selling 10 for $3.50, which is probably like that. They're more of a harder rubber. And I actually have one of my Suge right there. It's a little bit harder type for rubber, and it's already cracking. Like, it's not even a year old, but it's cracking on that. I might have to replace that one soon. But, I mean, hell, for, you know, that cheap, who the hell cares? But this one, these are a little bit softer, so it's kind of a personal preference kind of thing. But these are a little bit more expensive because of that, but it's not that big of a deal, honestly.
6 to 1, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you prefer. You know, what pipes, cigars, is actually all they had at the time when I ordered it.
Yeah, I'm going to look around and get myself some from somewhere. I keep saying it. We'll see if I do. I wasn't expecting by next show. There we go. Somebody's in trouble.
Yeah. Huh, they're turning. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, they're coming right past here. Of course they are right now. Why would a fire engine not do that?
Make sure they all get out, too. Trying to get the whole fire station out there. Jeez.
You shoot some, man. We do it right.
Wow. Oh,
this is so tasty, man. I love this blend. I mean, it's still... It just reminds me of, like, almost like a, I don't know, like, almost like coffee cake with cherries or something. Like a coffee cake with some cherries baked into it.
There we go. Woo. Somebody wasn't paying attention, texting and driving, or trying to find those Pokemon, probably. Walking out across traffic. I can kind of see the coffee cake, the way you're getting it, because it's kind of a sweetness and a bready note, but also that cherry note holds through. I still got a lot of that toasty.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, it's got, it's almost like, I mean.
On a good, slow retrohale, that's where I get a lot of really good flavors out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like bacon, kind of like a ginger snap cookie, those old molasses cookies or something like that. But it has that nice coffee note, too. So, there comes the straggler.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot more sweetness this time around than I did before. And not like a heavy sweetness, just that added sweetness to the Cavendish and those toasty notes. Yeah, were they pulling a 5-alarm fire over there?
Oh, that was a police car. I mean, you get a 911 call or emergency call, they dispatch fire, same with the police. So,
well, down here, they, how was it? A little bit in the last few years, they've made that change. Now, if anything happens, you can, they don't just dispatch an ambulance. They dispatch fire trucks and ambulance. And, you know, of course, the cops are already there. So,
yeah, they did the same thing in Mississippi. And it, apparently here, too. So, I mean, most of the time where I'm at, a lot of my cigar buddies, a lot of them are cops and EMTs or firefighters. So, whenever, you know, I would be like our fire station was near my house. We'd be up there late at night smoking or whatever, and they would get an alarm and they had to go. You know, they'd call Battalion 1 was the big EMT truck. So, mm-hmm. Most of the time, it would arrive before, you know, the ambulance would. So they always went on every call, no matter what it was.
Yeah, I do that here because I think it was, may have just been one incident. Can't remember because I wasn't here, where they just sent the ambulance. So the cops and the ambulance show up, and the car caught fire. Then they called the fire department afterward and said, all right, we're going to fix that. We'll have that happen again, so now they send it all. And most of the time, I can see the fire truck come back within 10 minutes by them just cruising back. Yeah, I mean, if you bump somebody, just bump their rear end, they'll send a fire truck.
Yeah, that's common. That's the way they do it. They've done that in Mississippi forever. That's just a common call.
No, Corpus isn't your common town.
Yeah.
They're just catching up to the times in a lot of ways. But back to our tobacco a little bit.
Mine, I'm getting a lot more cherry.
Yeah. Now mine started burning really nice, and I've got it going. Tamp it a little bit here and there, and it keeps burning. I've had to put fire to it like I was at first.
I'm getting a ton more cherry.
Very deep cherry.
Yeah.
like those dark black cherries, not a redder, you know, sweeter one.
Yeah, I like it too. Because let me tell you, the candy cherry, I freaking hate it with a passion.
Like cherry candy. Cough drop the smoke.
Oh man, dude. And I think it was way back when I was really, really young. My mom used to try to give me that liquid Tylenol and the cherry flavor.
Yeah.
Nastiest shit on earth. Terrible. And ever since then, I've hated cherry flavored stuff. Like not cherries, but like anything that's right. Cherry flavored. Freaking disgusting. Terrible. So I've kind of always shied away from the cherry aromatics. But that's why I want to try the Colt. Is because of this. Because this is very tasty. And it has that natural cherry flavor. Not that sickening artificial candy cherry bullshit flavor. This has a nice true, like a black cherry note, you know? And it's
right.
It's not, and it's just there as an accent too. I'd say that probably the most dominant flavor, honestly, is that toastiness, you know, that kind of that cakey, you know, kind of cookie kind of a toastiness, sweetness with a hint of the cherry. But that cherry is awesome because it just tastes so natural. I love it.
Right. Yeah. It's a toasty bread note for me. Before it was just toasty, but the breadiness is added into it with, well, like we said, that dark black cherry notes, real subtle in there, mostly in the retrohale for me.
Yeah. I'm going to put my lid back on my jar.
You probably still smell it just sitting outside, even though.
Yeah.
Have you tried the, kind of talked about, I can't remember if you said it or not, the Jura State heirloom cherry?
No, I haven't.
Okay. See, I smoked through a tin of that pretty quick. It's a stronger cherry than this, for sure. I mean, it tastes like cherry note, but I found it to be really enjoyable.
I'll have to check that one out. Some,
but I'm all out of it.
Yeah, that main, I mean, definitely, I want to, I think I have a tin of it, actually. Because I remember when my shop in Biloxi got the tins, I think I bought one of everything. So I should have a 10. I have no idea. But I bought one of everything, so I should have it.
Yeah, Logan hated it, but...
That's shocking.
That's not... Yeah.
Boone's Farm.
Anybody didn't know. Yep, Boone's Farm. I thought it was really good, though. But it's a stronger cherry. No. I smoke what's good. I don't care what it is about it.
Right.
But yeah,
that's Logan's why I want to try that Colt. The Colt tobacco, because it got two. Shit. You know, I'm actually on smokingpipes.com. Let me go look at that. Can't remember what the two of them are. It's Blood Moon is one of them. But they have, what was it? Abacus. That's the one. Yeah, Blood Red Moon. Oh, that's Conspiracy. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, Abacus was the only one I could think of.
Yeah, Abacus is the one that it's sold out. I mean, it's almost like a Balkan Sobrani or something because it sells out super quick. And Blood Red Moon was the first one. That's the one that is cherry. And let's see.
Another Blood Red Moon, little cigars. I had those.
Yeah, Blood Red flavors though. Yeah, let's see. Dark, rich, fire-cured Cavendish, Bright Virginias, Burleys, heady with aromas of Royal and cherry and dark chocolate. So.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah. And, I mean, I know it sold like mad. And it's got a ton of reviews on Tobacco Reviews. Abacus is follow to Rich Blood Red Moon. Abacus is blended from Black Cavendish, Virginias, mild Burleys to provide similar smooth spoke, but with a mellower aromatic element made up of cocoa, vanilla, and hazelnut. So that sounds slamming.
Yeah. Let's see, if I'd have known all this back oh, when was it? There was a sale somebody had on all that Colt pipe tobacco, and I didn't even know they had pipe tobacco. I only knew of their cigars, and I didn't pick any up. And now that I'm into this, I probably should have.
Yeah, I know, me too. Yeah, they're a conspiracy, which that one I hadn't heard of. I didn't know that was out. Golden Virginia's reddish burly, a special Green River Black Cavendish, and a touch of Cyprian Latakia are blended together with top notes of vanilla, clover, honey to produce Colt's Conspiracy's creamy and just slightly floral smoke. Interesting.
That's interesting. There was a question pop up over in Q&A here, and I don't think I got rid of it, but it disappeared.
Oh, Shooter Smoking Seattle Pipe Deception Pass. I haven't had that one, but I freaking want to, because Potlatch was so freaking awesome that I really need to try. I want to try all the rest of them. I've had Mississippi, the Mississippi River, and it was okay, but Potlatch, holy shit, that was freaking phenomenal.
All three of us raved about that one. One of us didn't like it.
It sure as hell wasn't me.
No, I'm saying not one of us didn't. All three of us thought that was one of the. Yeah. I would think we pretty much all gave that sucker like a 5-star.
Hmm.
Here's the next question. Shane got to the question here, and I don't think I have, but was asking if we had tried the Lane Limited Dark Red. It's a good cherry. Still, it has the fake cherry taste, but compared to others, it's pretty tasty.
I'd be out. Fake cherry, the candy flavor. No, I'm out, man. It's got to be that natural, you know, cherry note, because I can't take that fake cherry. Can't do it.
Kind of like somebody who's had too much tequila or vodka at one time. They just can't come back to it.
Yeah.
Lost if the
you,
taste.
You drank a whole lot of tequila and you puked it all up, now you swear off tequila for a while? Mm-hmm.
I've never been there, but I got some friends who have that issue. You start talking about vodka, I got a friend, she will just about, she got to walk away because the thought of vodka, she can just taste it instantly. That's a little much.
You shouldn't be able to taste vodka too much.
Well, you know, it has the burn, it can have a little bit of alcohol flavor, and then I'm guessing if you had enough of it, then some other flavor is going to come into your mouth too, so.
Just stick with the Kettle One, baby. Kettle One.
Kettle One's good. I go all over the map on vodka.
I like Kettle One, Belvedere. What else? I'm not a real big vodka guy, to be honest.
I mean, Belvedere in my shelf lately.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I like that a lot.
Stoli was always a good go-to for me.
Yeah, Stoli, what is the high-end one they got now? Ultra something? Shit, I can't remember. It's like a high-end Stoli now. It's like a 5x distilled or something.
Yeah, I don't know of any specific one. I just know I have old bottles back when they still said Russian vodka and they had all the gold medals on it. They took all that off of there now. I don't know why they changed their labels. But then following along with Bond changing vodkas, I decided I'd change along and go to some Belvedere and just been enjoying that. As long as you don't get too cheap, it's all pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be snobby, but the most part is I've found bad vodkas, but most of the good ones are all about the same.
Yeah. For me.
Long as in a glass bottle, it's at least fairly decent. If it's plastic with a handle, it's probably not any good. I had a little gurgle on mine I had to actually get out.
Yeah, I did a minute ago, too.
And I got it out, but hadn't had that for a while.
Yeah, Shooter, talk about the peach tree schnapps. Now, let me tell you, that's one liquor I literally cannot take one sip of. If I take just one sip, I will vomit. I don't know why.
Of any schnapps?
Oh, snops! I can no snops. I cannot wow. do any of it. Man, God, what going on around here?
Well, that's makes me think of a fire. They've had to pull a few alarms on that thing. Well, see, it's just destined. We were here on time, ready to go with the tobacco, started like we were supposed to, and here's our dilemma. Sirens nonstop. I don't know if I just have noise in my head, but I swear I can still hear sirens even though you're muted.
There's another one coming. Maybe it's an echo. I hope one of those refineries isn't on fire. No, it's coming. It's another one coming. Good God.
Yeah, they pulled a couple of alarms on that. They got a few extra houses coming. Something big. May have to check out the Houston news and see if something's going on over there. Make you miss your man cave.
Yeah, because I lived in a cul-de-sac back home in a quiet little area. It was always real quiet. But one thing about this tobacco, though, like I really love the flavor. It's got a nice, that nice bready, toasty baked goods, cherry quality. And the coffee is there, but it's not like coffee. It's kind of like that, the bitterness of the coffee that I get more than the flavor of coffee. But if you smoke this too fast, it will get bitter. It will get funky. So this is one you can't smoke too fast. But there is no tongue bite, obviously. There's no tongue bite whatsoever. It just can get bittery, kind of weird flavor.
Yeah, you really got to watch out for all these aromatics like that. That's one thing I learned fast. How good they are, you got to keep it slow. Ruin it fast. Shooter being a smartass over there about your siren problem. He says new donut shop opening.
Man, let me tell you, I'm fat, so it's obviously I love donuts. Donuts are one of my favorite things in the world. There must be 12 trillion donut places around here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing, they're all the same. Donuts, breakfast tacos, and kolaches. That's all they sell. And they're on every corner around here. It's crazy. They're all the same, too. They all have different, you know, call different things, whatever, mm-hmm. but they all have the same type of donut, same type of kolaches, the same type of breakfast tacos. I don't know. It's weird, man. And there isn't a single Krispy Kreme around here.
Yeah, no, you're kind of tough finding a Krispy Kreme around here. We've got tons of other donut shops, tons of Shipley's, Dunkin's, and a couple others, but then a lot of just, you know, local shops.
Yeah, but I really haven't found a real true, you know, local donut shop like that specializes in their donuts. It's like all the donut shops here, they all have the exact same type of donut. Like it's all the same thing, you know?
Like Benny keeps dropping off all the donuts for him.
Yeah, it's like his favorite shop. One of the big food wholesalers is dropping off donuts and they just bake them and put them out or something. But nobody here, kind of like, you know, in Austin, you know, it's Round Rock Donuts. Isn't it Round Rock? Round Rock, yeah. But they're like world famous, or like Voodoo Donuts in Portland. Right. Yeah. I mean, they're known, like they're famous, but there's nothing like that here. There's no real special cool donut shop. I mean, they're all like just generic fast food donut places. I mean, the donuts are good, but I mean,
right.
So they're all like Shipley. Everything's like Shipley. Right. And I've known Shipley for a while, even Mississippi, because we actually had one in Starkville where Mississippi State's at. There's been a Shipley's there forever.
Yeah, we got a Shipley probably 2 minutes from my house, so pretty good place to go. But at least they make their donuts in-house. Yeah. We found out that our Dunkin' Donuts, they just opened end of last year, I guess. They don't make theirs. They're shipped in from San Antonio.
They're nasty. I can't
really stand them. You ship in your donuts? So.
All it does, it just tastes like bread. It's like bread with a glaze on it. Like it's not that soft, sweet donut kind of dough. To me, it's like French bread with a glaze on it. It's like
Our Shipley's is way better, but Dunkin's got decent coffee, so I'll go grab that.
Dunkin's coffee's even better.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know.
Dude, let me tell you, he's got some amazing damn coffee. Panera Bread.
Really? It's
amazing. Yes. It's so good. I mean, there's not a Panera Bread where I'm at. I know them, though, and I dropped my wife off to go to at Hobby Airport here in Houston to fly off for work. On the way back, I was starving to death, but I didn't want to get any, you know, Burger King or McDonald's. And I noticed was cars parked at Panera Bread. I didn't even know they did breakfast. So, oh, my God, there's another batch coming. More fire trucks. Nonetheless, they have great breakfast, and their coffee is freaking phenomenal. One of the best fast food coffees I've ever had. I mean, it'll go up against some coffee shops.
Yeah, I need to go try breakfast over there sometime. I say that, but I tend to very rarely go out for anything, especially breakfast. Make oatmeal and a cup of coffee at home, and I'm good to go. Following Shooter's line, only twin engine for him. It's like, yeah, I've got some twin engine Nicaraguan, some of the dark and some of the lighter roast, and grind that stuff up, put it in the French press, and that is some good coffee. I've got time. It's good stuff. He was at the show, and we got some from him before. I'm sure he'll probably be at the show this year, I would imagine. But when I have time, I put it through that French press, and I've just enjoyed that.
I love French press. I mean, I got to curate now just because it's quick and easy.
Oh, yeah.
But
usually, I put it in my little stainless steel strainer and do the Keurig in the morning. But sometimes I have the time to sit and steep some coffee.
Man, I saw this thing on Kickstarter. It's already over. It ended. I even missed it. But it was a new type of a French press that they had came out with. And I can't remember what it was called now. But basically, you put these little cup filters in it, like little round filters like that. It's like a French press, but instead of still have that stainless steel thing, but you put the paper filter on top. And it has a special plunger mechanism. And it's supposed to make like the ultimate clean, almost like, it's like a pour over coffee in a French press combined, which is phenomenal. Because those Chemex coffees, you ever seen those? It looks like the big beaker, basically not a beaker, but like a funnel, glass funnel. You put like a triangle filter in the top of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you put the ground coffee in there, and you pour the water over real slowly. And when you first do it, it makes what they call a plume. And you let that die down. Then you slowly pour. It takes forever. But let me tell you, it's the cleanest cup of coffee you ever had. There's a place in Birmingham called Seeds, which is freaking phenomenal. Best coffee place I've ever been to. And they had it the first time there. Oh, my God. It was phenomenal. The best coffee I've ever had. But it takes forever. And it's like a science. Like, you have to measure out the precise amount of coffee to put in there. And depending on how much coffee you're there, you gotta put in the right amount of water. It's kind of complicated. I bought the stuff. I hadn't even used it because it's kind of a pain in the ass to do. But, yeah, I had a French press, and I love French press coffee a lot. But my wife actually dropped it, cleaned it one day. I just haven't bought a new one since.
Yeah, I've seen that other method. I've never had a cup made that way. I've almost bought the stuff. But, again, it's not a cheap set to buy. For that one, not the ones I've looked at least. So I just figured my French press, my Keurig would keep me for now.
Yeah.
So let's see where we are. Hey, we're actually getting close to an hour here. I guess we ought to get back truck to back a little more. I haven't had any more gurgle out of mine.
I had it right at the beginning.
Right. I had that one time that I was talking about, but that's it. It's staying lit pretty well.
Yeah, shooter. I have a burr grinder too. Matter of fact, I bought it for the Chemex, and I haven't done the Chemex, so I haven't even used a burr grinder yet. It's brand new still.
I have just about bought one of those because I just, when I first got into actually doing it all myself and getting beans, just got a, you know, cheap, easy grinder, and I need to get me a good burr one. I just hadn't done it.
Yeah, it's a big difference too because those cheap grinders, I mean, they just pulverize the bean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you can tell that it's not doing it right.
Yeah. And, I mean, I even bought a high-end grinder, and it still does a shitty job. But a burr grinder, is even the lower-end ones do a really good job. But I watched this on YouTube, some reviews on them. There's this one, I think it's a Seattle shop or somewhere in Oregon. They actually took like 7 burr grinders, and they put them all in the same setting, and they tested each one of them, and they made coffee with that and did a review about how the coffee tasted with it. And the one that I bought actually was I can't remember what the brand was now. It's like Caprese or something like that. It was off of Amazon and actually won their challenge. And it's not a very expensive burr grinder. And it tied for like the most expensive one. It was like $300. I think mine was like 70, and they tied. So I bought it.
That's way better way to go there.
Yeah.
And Shooter says he does a burr grinder and the pour over. That's his everyday way. Well, hooray for you. I don't have that kind of time mostly.
It's not. It's a pain in the ass, but once you get the method down, it's just as quick as doing a French press. You know? Like you know when you do the French press and you sit and wait? Well, on the pour over, you're pouring instead of waiting. Right. You're pouring a little bit so it's the same amount of time. Yeah, it's a little bit more work, but I'm telling you, the coffee to me tastes better. It's just because it's cleaner. You know, when you do the French press, you get that silt, that kind of in there. None of that. None of that shit's in there.
We just got the whole answer for why this happens. Shooter's wife does it for him while he's getting dressed. So,
oh, Jesus.
Heck yeah. I'll take some drip coffee out of a burr grinder. Somebody would make it for me, but I'm not having that happen. Wife will help me with a lot of stuff, but I don't think I can get her to pour coffee for me like that. Yeah, I wouldn't use a paper filter. Don't they have like a stainless steel filter that you use in those? Real fine stainless mesh. I'm thinking so. Wait. Shane, were you thinking of the AeroPress?
Oh, I heard. I've never used it, but I heard it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, one thing they do in the Pacific Northwest is their coffee. AeroPress or French press is the way to go.
Yeah, I heard the AeroPress is pretty phenomenal too, but I've never done it. I've never had it. You know what? I take that. I have had AeroPress coffee. There's a place show called Bar Bazaar that they do AeroPress. And it was really good. I still prefer the pour over. It's a super clean coffee. But AeroPress is good.
Not if I've ever seen that before.
I mean, this kind of goes with our pipe tobacco because there is a coffee flavoring on this. Even though I really don't get much coffee at all out of this.
No,
if anything, I get like the essence of coffee, kind of like that little bit bitter aftertaste or something with it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call out the coffee note, but since it's been called out by the description, I can make out a coffee bitterness in the profile, but it's just toasty, bready, and a little bit of that cherry sweetness that is top to bottom in what I've gotten.
That flavor of that coffee. like I said, it kind of reminds me of coffee cake with like maybe black cherries baked into it or something like that, or like a ginger snap cookie with it with black cherry baked into it or something. That's probably, I mean, that coffee kind of comes through a little bit, but it doesn't come through really as coffee. It just kind of comes through as that, you know, the flavors that we sometimes get with a little bit of that bitterness. It's almost more of like a molasses-y kind of it's hard to explain this, but it's more like of a baked goods kind of, you know, flavor. I don't know. It's damn tasty. How about that?
Well, I obviously didn't mind it because I burned through that whole amount you gave me.
I'm telling you, man, aromatics, dude. Logan is screwing up by just swearing them off without really ever trying them. I mean, he tried some shit ones and said, oh, screw aromatics. But that's the thing about, that's the problem with aromatics and pipe smoking too. Because you'll go and you'll get some real shitty aromatics like at the drugstore or, you know, some of the stuff that you do at some cigar shops where they have like 3 jars of pipe tobacco and you use just like that goopy crap aromatic and you smoke it like, oh,
you use it.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's swear it all off. But it's like when you get good aromatics, man, they are phenomenal. But I mean, it's probably a 3-to-1 ratio of good aromatics to bad aromatics, though, you know, at least 2-to-1. And to me, Boswell's is good aromatic. Every one of them are really good. I might have burnt mine down.
Yeah, and I've said it before, there's something about pipe tobacco. I'm extremely open to flavored pipe tobaccos, but I'm only somewhat open to flavored cigars. I will reach for a standard cigar before I reach for, you know, an infused, yeah, but me I'm too. Fairly apt to reach for an aromatic pipe tobacco before I reach for a standard. I might be half and half now because I might have actually gone the other way. Now I tend to reach for like a smoky, like the Oerlikon Darkstrom Kentucky. That stuff to me is,
I got to revisit great. That one. I had it and it was just like, it was too rough. I mean, it was just too much. But I know people that, you know, that I watch on YouTube, other reviewers that have the same flavor profile of me, what I like. And they love it. So I need it. I need to retry it again.
Now, too rough would be about 2 weeks ago. That was a little too rough.
Well, they didn't bring it up. I didn't want to think about it.
Old Joe Krantz wears some big boots and he kicks hard. I've never had a pipe tobacco hit me that hard.
You know, the thing is, too, there is stuff out there that makes that be like, it's like a mild tobacco. Yeah, like the Irish Rope or the Black X. I mean, that stuff is like smoking pure nicotine.
Mm. Yeah, that stuff would hit me hard because I don't get that much nicotine in me at any time. Well, I guess it is 9, so we'll do the wrap-up part and we'll give our ratings on this Boswell, on this good Boone's Farm. Well, I'm saying it before I throw up my side of it.
No, you go first. I went first last time.
Well, yeah, no, I'm going to say I'm going to pull up. I think I'm going to rate it higher this time than my review I did. It's really not that long ago.
I'm relighting the Dottle, so that should tell you what I think.
Well, the last time I gave it 4 stars in my review, which, you know, purchased enough to keep in the rotation. I think I'd have to keep it. I thought I gave it a little lower, but I'll keep it there because, I don't know. Well, I think I know what your score is because we already know this stuff's 10 years old. That kind of puts you in a certain rating. As good as it is, I'd probably have to keep mine at that 4. I would definitely have to keep some in stock.
Well, but to me,
keeping some in stock would be enough for me.
Well, yeah, to me, I'd give it a 4 as well. I don't know if I'd ever give any aromatic a 5 because it would never be my first thing I'd ever grab. On Christmas Day, I always smoke some Christmas Cheer from McClellan. I always smoke that. That's aromatic. Every year it's aromatic. So on that day, Christmas Day, I usually only smoke aromatic. But, I mean, this is a phenomenal, phenomenal aromatic. Like, the flavors on this is amazing. So it would definitely, I would definitely have to be a 4. And to be honest, if I gave an aromatic a 5, it might be one that's coming up. We might do, you know, at least for the end of the year. So I'll save that for then. But this is one that will always be, I will always have a mason jar of this stuff. I mean, because it's for one, it's an easy smoke. And like I said, I don't always like smoking aromatics in the summertime. This one, not a problem. Because, I mean, it's a good smoke, easy burning. It's light and mild, so it's any time of the day. The aromatic part of it is not, it's not overbearing. It's just a nice, like a nice little topping, just a little bit of flavor added to it. It's not like a dominant thing. So in the summertime, this is not bad in the summer either. And the flavors, you know, like I said, some things, you know, you think, you know, summer, you think fall and winter type of flavors, you know, like coffee or and chocolate or, you know, stuff like that. But like this one's, you know, cherry and cherry coffee and whiskey. I mean, that's all year round type of flavors to me.
All year, anytime. And actually, it's a little stronger, but I think it would be still good morning tobacco.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be a great morning tobacco.
The toasty, bready with cherry notes, I think it'd work out great.
Yeah. Yeah, like I just had dinner before we came on air. And this is like a really good after-dinner smoke, too, because it's got that sweetness in it. It's almost like a dessert smoke. But like I said, it's not overbearing, so it's good all time. You know, all occasions, I think it's good smoke. So it's a solid, solid 4 for me, for sure.
So definitely, if you're looking to try some aromatics and you want to make sure you try something good, Sweet Mild would be a good start.
Definitely.
Not heavy, not too light. Got some really good flavors and a good burn, so I don't see an issue with it at all.
Yeah, and I mean, all of the Boswells are like that. I'll be totally honest. I'm foreshadowing stuff we got coming up, but all of the Boswell aromatics are solid. And it kind of depends on what flavors you like. Because there's, you know, like I said, they run a whole gamut of flavors, you know. So, I mean, if you like chocolate, they got that. If you like honey, they got that. If you like vanilla, they got that. If you like rum, alcoholic type stuff, they got that. They have everything, you know. But so yeah, check them out. I think it's BoswellPipes.com. Like I said, it's like Wednesdays or Thursdays they do their pipes, and they got one that I've been trying to catch, but they're the first ones that go every time. It's a kind of a standard pipe like this, but right here is a 12 gauge shotgun shell cap, the brass piece. It looks badass. Now, and being an outdoorsman, I love that. You know, a gun guy. So I love that, but that's one of the first ones to go. Every time it goes up, boom, you got to be waiting on it. And there's people that sit there and wait, keep hitting F5, F5, refreshing their browser, waiting until they hit, and then they buy. I mean, so then you have to wait again because you never know what's going to pop up on there. So just got to watch. But that's about it for me, man.
Yeah, I think we're good. We will. Wow, did we even decide next week yet?
I don't think so.
No, I think we'll have to do that as soon as we hop off here. We'll figure something out. We'll post it up on Sig Fed. We'll put up in the schedule. So Yeah, we'll figure something out next week. I don't know if we'll continue with the Sugei God series, we'll come back to Boswell's, or if we'll just, we got a lot of choices. So we'll figure something out and put it up there. Y'all just check it out over on SigFed. And we are out for tonight. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.